Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to welcome you all to the presence of the Lord this evening. We're going to have a mix of Bible study and prayer meeting tonight, because this weekend, starting on Friday, we are going to be having special meetings. I know that the enemy will like to do whatever it is that he can do to sabotage what we are working towards, but we cannot be stopped. We are going to worship God, we're going to experience God, we're going to magnify his holy name, and we're going to thwart all of the agenda of the enemy, bringing all of it to naught in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, before I get to the word of the Lord tonight, two major things I want to bring across to you. Firstly, to remind you that this month is the month of acceleration. God is going to give you and I the grace to move at supernatural speeds in accomplishing his divine purpose for our lives. What that means is that God is going to cause you and I to accomplish things that should take us 10 years to do. We'll be able to do it in a year, we'll be doing it in a month, we may be able to do it in a week, do it in a day. God is going to put inside of you and I the capacity to outrun every enemy. You know, the prophet Elijah outrun Ahab's chariot. He had acceleration. And God is going to grant you and I acceleration to escape every plan, every agenda of the enemy. There will be no competition. Praise the Lord. I want you to see yourself today experiencing acceleration in your healing, acceleration in your financial breakthrough, acceleration in your business, acceleration in seeing your dreams, hopes, and aspirations coming to pass speedily to the glory of God. Let's watch this video. Praise the Lord. I want you to say it from your mouth this evening. April is my month of acceleration. Praise God. I want you to see the images from a guy walking to a guy running to a guy biking to a guy who's riding on his motorcycle, a vehicle, a car. All of those were all in this natural, you know, land contact to land. Then there was the acceleration of the plane, and then a shuttle. God is going to cause you to reign in the earth and in the heavenlies, and he's going to do it in a very accelerated way. He's going to do it for me, and he's going to do it for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The second announcement that I want you to lock into right now is this very fact that God has transformation for you. and the grace to be alive in you today. As we celebrate with thanksgiving what our Lord Jesus Christ did on what we might call the week of Passion or Good Friday, right through to Resurrection Sunday, I want you to be very aware that God is going to do the same thing in you. He did it all so that we can experience Him in that all. Amen? So let's listen to this or watch this real quickly, and then we'll get into the Word and then a time of prayer. Praise the Lord. These are going to be very, very special meetings for you and I. I don't remember in recent years when you had Passover and Good Friday starting on the same day. But this year it's going to be so. And we want to celebrate that. We want to give God thanks for that grace, for us to experience this double in God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we are studying from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I want us to refresh ourselves on some of the things we've talked about so far, and then we'll go a little bit further than we did the last time. It says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." In this particular book, we have come through from the very first chapter on a lot of issues. But the driving point, starting from the very first chapter, is that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and that God has sanctified us and made us holy in His grace. This is what I mean. Let's look at the very first verse through the fourth verse of Ephesians chapter 1. And this is what we read, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning to read from the first verse. Ephesians 1:1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, I am what I am by the will of God. God chose me to be an apostle by His will." It says, "I'm writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." Notice that statement. He's writing to the faithful. He's not writing to those that are wishy-washy, uncommitted. He's writing to the faithful. He's writing to the saints which are in Ephesus. He says, "Grace," that empowerment of God, "and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." And watch this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All the blessings are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Which means then, as we will see through the book of Ephesians, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Far above. Watch that. Far above. Way beyond. Far above principalities. Far above powers. Far above spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We're far above. God has blessed us. And where He's blessed us with these blessings, there is no corruption. Praise God. So it is secure. But there is an enemy that wants to make certain that you don't connect with what God has for you. Therefore then, you and I must recognize that whatever it is that the enemy has to do, that we've got to break its power and its influence over our lives. Verse 4 says, according as He had chosen us in Him. He chose us in Him. We have to be in Him. If any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are now new. So if we are chosen in Him, we are chosen because we are new creatures. And He chose us this way before the foundations of the world. He chose you and I before the foundation of the world. So before there was any world, whether it be a pre-Adamic world or an Adamic world, it doesn't matter. Before the foundation of the world, God chose you. To be what? To be holy, separated unto Himself, and without blame before Him in love. Without blame before Him in love. It is this love that the Word of God is going to address in Ephesians chapter 3 and the very last verse. It says to us this. Actually, verse 23:20. It says, now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, if you go further up in Ephesians 3, you'll find out that that power is the power of God's love that is shed abroad in our hearts. God has bestowed upon us His love, and through that power of God, and that power of love, for God is love, God has brought us to that place where we are blessed beyond measure, beyond description. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, that which you ask. When you ask, you are saying something. Or think. Beyond that which you ask or think. What does that mean to me? It means that God is saying, there's no limit to what I can do for you. If you can say it, I will exceed it. If you can think it, I will exceed it. I'm going to do exceeding, and then it says abundantly. So not only am I going to exceed what you ask for, I'm going to do it in abundance so that you have a whole slew of stuff. Wow. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto that God be glory in the church, glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, throughout all ages, throughout all ages. In essence, God is saying, this is going to work. There's nothing going to be changed about this. In any generation, you can trust that this is what's going to happen. Now, this expression of love is going to be demonstrated as we go to chapter 4 and verse 5, and also chapter 5, in the call to service. And we spent a whole lot of time in addressing that, the service, our call to serve. And the call to serve is founded in our obedience to the power of love. And so he goes through all of that, talking about how husbands and wives need to relate with each other, and how servants are supposed to relate, and then how children are supposed to relate concerning this. And then after doing all of this, after calling us to the place of humility and service, he says, finally, in chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What is this power of his might? The power of his love working in you and through you. He says, let us be strong in the Lord. Our strength in the Lord is powered by our joy quotient, our joy in God. That's our strength. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't be overwhelmed by your circumstances. And to do so, he says to us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor. Not part of it, all of it. Why? That he may be able to stand against the wiles, the treachery, the trickery, the cunningness of the enemy. You need to be able to stand against it. You need to be able to shut it down. This is my plan and my purpose for you, that you be able to stand against the methodia, the method, the patterns of the enemy. The enemy doesn't have new tricks. He just reinvents and the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, because he's not that creative. So he just uses same systems. Why do we need to put on all of this armor? First of all, that we'll be able to stand, withstand the methodia of the enemy. That we'll be able to stand. You know, so many who are not able to stand, they cannot take the heat. Very little throws them off track. But God wants you and I to stand. Now, how does this happen? This grace to stand? It happens through the power of love. It happens through the power of love, through the power of unity, oneness, union, community. How can I describe it to you? Imagine that you are walking on a track, a train track, and you're by yourself walking on one of the tracks, trying to balance yourself. After a while, you may fall off. But if you have a brother or a sister, a partner, and you hold hands, it's not easy for you to fall off. You just walk down the track. Both of you balance each other as you go on. When we connect with God, that's what happens. When you connect with your brother, if any two of you shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done. That means you don't get to fall off. You get to stand. You stay on the tracks. You are on that course, and you're able to go through efficiently with great ease. You're not fighting to balance yourself. You go together. You know that this is one of the reasons why God brought a man and a woman together. Now, let me say something here that's of great importance. Anytime God says something, you can be certain that the enemy wants to do or cause you to do the reverse. So if God called a man and a woman to come together, to be able to pray together, and a woman to be a helpmate fit for the vision, then you can expect that marriages will be attacked. When God says that you are blessed, you can expect the enemy to try to generate a curse in your life. He is your enemy. He's always trying to undo what God has, and he wants to accuse God to you. That's what he started out with in the garden, remember? Did God really say this? So when you even receive a prophetic declaration, expect that there will be resistance to that prophetic declaration. And it is for you to stay the course. Find somebody to be in agreement with. Because the word of God says we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. It is not people that are your enemies. It is the devil. All that battling happening in the Ukraine right now, it's the devil behind the scenes instigating people to get entangled in strife and in bitterness and unforgiveness and you know, twisting things around. And, you know, have you wondered at any point why people can be arguing about something and they both think they are right? They really believe that they're right. That's why they're fighting this way. Because the devil is always there in the details. And the word of God says, put on the whole armor of God so that you are able to withstand those wiles, those treacherous things that the enemy is trying to engineer, the methodologies of darkness. He says we are, because we're not wrestling. That's the other reason why you need to put this on. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not people that are your problem, it's the devil. He says, but we are wrestling against principalities. Principalities. Now, what are these? Principalities are the word is the word arche, and it's the principle. Now, when we talk about arche here, we're talking about statements that have to do with how something starts. When we're talking about principalities, we're talking about how something started. We're talking about the fact, oh, how can I put it? Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So we're talking about principalities are the chief forces that get evil started. These principalities are the agents that start out the process of strongholds in the life of a person. He says we're wrestling against principalities, forces that legislate systems. Principalities operate to bring people into bondage. They try to tie things down, bring rulership in terms of the forces of darkness. And as forces that originate, he says, you are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against things that originate evil, wickedness. And how do we overcome these? By identifying what the enemy is trying to do. Remember, we serve a God who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So the enemy is trying to do something that contradicts. Now, this is important. Principalities take rulership. They take charge. They get things started. Now, if we created in the image and the likeness of God, who is Alpha and Omega, we need to dislodge the enemy and become ones that start. In other words, we'll be at the cutting edge. We don't wait to respond. We go after the enemy and dislodge him. He says we're not just wrestling against flesh and blood, we're wrestling against principalities, and we're wrestling against powers. Now, powers here is the word exousia. The Lord says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as received him, he gave the power or the exousia to become the sons of God. So what are exousia or these powers, exousia, trying to do? Their purpose is to make sure that you don't come into your fullness as a child of God. That's what these powers are there for, to make sure that you don't come into fullness, to keep you and I from the place of recognizing our authority, so that the enemy is the one that is determining and determining what happens in your life. Then it says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Ah. Well, what is the position of God here? Why are we dealing with this? Now, I know we may just think, well, we're dealing with this rulers of the darkness of this world. I need to fight against them. But what is the purpose? The purpose is for you and I to dislodge the enemy from reigning in that particular realm and taking possession of that particular realm. Oh, the Lord, the Word of God says that God reigns in darkness. When the children of God cried out, God responded, and the earth shook and everything, and God came and took possession of the darkness. He commands light to come out of the darkness. And what is this that God is saying? He's saying, listen, if there is darkness, you need to go there and possess it. Possess that realm. It's not like we take stuff from the enemy and leave him in charge. God says, don't leave any room for the enemy to operate. That's what he's calling us to. Come in there and dislodge the enemy. In other words, we keep on winning the battles. When there is darkness in the world, it is not for us to keep on repeating it and confirming it. We stand against it and take a hold of it and say no to the devil. Because if you don't, the enemy will continue to reign in that particular area of your life. But God is calling us to dislodge the enemy. We're not wrestling against just an entity, but we are dislodging that entity from the place where it reigns. Just like the Father kicked through Michael, the angel, the archangel, kicked the devil out of heaven, we need to do the same thing, kick the enemy out of our turf. In other words, you dislodge the principality to become the principality. Hallelujah. Now, you're not coming in there and becoming a wicked principality. You're possessing that particular realm, and a new sheriff is in town, kind of a deal. That's what God is calling you and I to. So we are going against powers or authorities, dislodging those authorities and establishing the authority of God. And the word of God says the kingdom of God is in you. And where the kingdom is, the king is. And we are called to possess. Hallelujah. We're called to possess our possessions, called to possess our turf. And our cry tonight is, God, help us to take possession and not yield any turf to the enemy, not the turf of government. No, not the sociological, political systems, the financial systems, the health system, the educational system, every area that the enemy is operating in. God is calling us to take a hold of that and flip it around. And so when the disciples came and were preaching the gospel, they said, the people who've turned the world upside down have come here too. We need to be aware of our calling, aware of the grace of God, the anointings of God on our lives, who has blessed us already with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's empowered us. And when he overcame Satan and the forces of darkness in Ephesians chapter 1, let's take it from the last, let's take it from about verse 15. Let me see. Ephesians 1. Take it from verse 15. It says this, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, watch this now, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That your eyes, the eyes of understanding, being enlightened. So we have eyes of understanding, but it needs to be continuously enlightened that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are in the saints. So we need to be aware of who we are as saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word. There is a power that God has invested in us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which is displayed when? Through the resurrection, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the ability of God, the resurrection power of God, is operating in me. And when he was raised from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. We need to recognize these realities. These are God realities that I as a believer need to recognize, that I am empowered by the power of God, which is a resurrecting power. So in essence, it doesn't matter if I got knocked down, I get to rise up again. So the bad news today for the enemy is that there is a day that never ceases. That day is the day of resurrection when he thinks, I won. Boom! He finds out, no, you didn't win. Because resurrection life continues to flow through the body of Christ. Every time you and I get born again, or people get born again, the resurrection life is taking place, and it's driving the devil crazy. That's why we continue to preach the gospel. And we are seated with this Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And verse 21 says, watch this. This is powerful. It says, it is far above all principality. Remember, that's what we're dealing with. It's far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might and dominion, and every name that is named. Every name that is named, every disease that is named, you are far above it. Every description, anything that has a name, you have grace to be above it. If you don't know the name, give it a name. You have the power. You know, that's why God gave the authority to Adam to name the beast, everything. He named it. Because God is giving you and I the power to give names to stuff. And when you name it, because you are in Christ Jesus, you become over and above that thing. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Wow. Connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, and he had put all things under his feet. But what feet? The feet of the Lord. Where does this feet belong? To his body. But what is his body? The church. Because he is the head. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. And that grace to be head over all things, he attaches this word to the church. What does that mean to you and I? It means that the grace to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath, which is the true identity of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He has transferred that same grace and that same authority to his church. You know what's wrong with us? We are very unaware of our authority. Yeah. We are very unaware of our authority. And the reason I say we are unaware of our authority is because we have not followed through with the grace that that authority has released into us. That great authority being the Lord Jesus Christ. He has passed that authority to us. How did he do it? He did it when he gave us the power to use his name. Not as a curse word, but use his name as the authority to dislodge the enemy wherever we are. Elijah knew something about exercising his authority. Based on what? Based on the word of God. God's word said, if the people of Israel linked themselves to living in sin, that it was not going to rain and there was not going to be dew. But it kept on raining and there was dew and everything was happening as if nothing was wrong. And when Elijah took a hold of that word, he walked right through to the palace of Ahab and told them in 1 Kings 18, there is not going to be rain nor dew, but according to my word. Because I say it. Why? Because I've been authorized by the word of God to be his representative, to be his prophet. And when we recognize our authority, we will dislodge the enemy. We live in so much in fear. Because we've not learned how to exercise our authority in God. May God deliver us all from evil. The word of God continues. Talking about the church, verse 23. Which is his body? Which is his body? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him. What is the fullness of him? The church. Oh, interesting. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now watch this. In chapter 3, when Paul begins to pray, in verse 10, chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, actually, let me take it from verse 9. He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. There is a fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord, if I spend time on that, we're going to be here for the rest of the night. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, first of all, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. We need to know the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There was a purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that purpose is unknown to the devil. It's a mystery. So when we come into Christ, that purpose of God begins to be revealed inside of us. What is it? In whom? When we know this mystery, we have boldness. We have access with confidence by the faith of him. The faith of him. The faith of who? The faith of Jesus. Someday we'll talk about faith. And we'll understand from the book of Galatians that Jesus is a manifestation of faith. In Hebrews 11, Jesus is a manifestation of faith. He is the personification of faith. So we have confidence by the faith of him, the faith of Jesus. 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations. Don't faint because of me. For you, which is your glory. I'm going through some stuff, but it's for your glory. What is this glory about? For you to become aware of the fullness that God is making manifest. What is this? My tribulations. My tribulations because I'm going through stuff. But as you see, I'm coming through this stuff. I've been stoned so many times, left for dead, and I get up and I go home. I'm aware of the goodness of God. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Oh my Lord. Don't start freaking out because I'm going through something, because I'm coming out of this. Don't start freaking out about anything, because Jesus, yes, he's going to die, but he's coming out of the grave. The grave is not the end of his story. It's just part of the story. You may be going through something right this very moment, but God is bringing you out of it. The devil's a liar. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Everyone named by him. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. By his word, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, the very core of you, that you strengthen there, that you've got a backbone, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you rooted and grounded in love, that's where you're pulling your nourishment from, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled, watch this now, with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. The body of Christ, the church, the fullness of him that filleth all things. It is through the power of God, the knowledge of God, that we've come to this place of fullness. I'm full of God. I'm a God carrier. So, let us wrap up from chapter 6 again, where it tells us what we're doing. It says to us, in verse 13, knowing and being aware of who you are, what God has done for you, what God is doing in you and through you. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that awareness of who God is, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In the evil day. That is a strategic time, poneros, a particular timing. How do we overcome this? By being aware of our spiritual environment. Every day is not the evil day. You know, the enemy's planning, and he's targeting a particular day that he's going to get something going. Through what? Through the role of principalities. That evil day. He says, and having done all, and you do all in Christ. Why is it that you do all in Christ? Because he's the one who said, it is finished. It is done. Having done all, to stand. As key. When the dust settles, you be the one standing, not the enemy of your soul. And next time, we're going to take it from verse 14. where it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. This is now all of the armor of God that you need to put on. But let me put it this way, to get it simple. It is the armor of God. So how do you put it on? Simple. You say, I put on Christ. I put on Christ. I am robed with him. I am in him. So this is not something that you do every time you want to pray. This is something that you are. You are in Christ, in God. It's your position in him. And when you and I are aware of that position, we get to win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, tonight we're going to thank God for what he has given to us. And we're going to do declarations, particular declarations that cause us to be aware of the fullness that God has for us. Let's thank God. Wherever you are, just lift up your voice before God. Thank him for being aware of who you are in him and for the ability to function as his son, who has been authorized to live victoriously and to dispossess the enemy of that which he has possession of, dislodging them and taking control of the territory of our community, the territory of our cities and towns and countries and continents, taking authority. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the grace to operate as men and women authorized by you. And in that grace, we dislodge the enemy. And we, Lord, dislodging the enemy, establish the reign of your kingdom in every realm. For your name is above every other name. And in and by and through your name, every knee must bow. All things must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in all realms, in every realm, in every territory. Help us, O God, to be very aware of this grace and to use it efficiently and effectively in a way that glorifies you. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to live life to the full. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Secondly, I want us to just thank God for the meetings, the celebration, convocation of being transformed and alive in him. Starts this Friday. Let's thank God for the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, for the move of his Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the move of your Spirit as we come, O God, into this convocation of celebration, celebrating the victory that we have in you, the one who took on the hordes of hell and defeated every single one of them single-handedly, placing a place of great authority that we, O God, Not just because we have a multitude of people. For your word says, O God, that one with God is a majority. Help us, O God, to be very aware, no matter what the situation is, that one with God is a majority. And that, Lord, O God, that this majority wins all the time. We outsmart the enemy all the time because, Lord, oh God, we have your wisdom, we have your knowledge, and we have come, oh God, into the mysteries that are in Christ Jesus, which is hidden from the enemy. And because, Lord, oh God, we have access, oh God, to these mysteries, we can move boldly and operate as men and women of authority, doing extraordinary things in this last of the last days. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree done. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the powerful meetings that we're going to have in you as we give you thanks for what you've done for us. Amen and amen. Third thing I would like us to pray about before we are done tonight is this. I believe a few weeks ago I mentioned about something the Lord showed to me about a flood hitting our city. And I said at that time that that flood happened with a downpour of rain. That it wasn't snow that messed things up, it was the rain. Now we prayed about that, and the enemy switched plans to try to get snow to be the result of that particular damage. But we are denying the enemy any right to create any damage in our city, in our community. Our rivers are not going to flood. We're not going to struggle. We're not going to fight because God's goodness shall be revealed in our city and in our community. Now, out of the blue, so to speak, in April, when almost all the snow was gone, the prediction and the pronunciations of the news media, the weatherman, and everybody else is this blizzard that was going to give us 40 centimeters to 60 centimeters of snow, heavy, wet snow. Well, you can imagine what that will do. All happening, you know, in a few days. Well, it's supposed to be snowing now. We've diverted it. We've you know, declared the word of the Lord and stopped it. Well, but they're still making their proclamations. But we are going to stop it completely. Number one, it's not going to mess up with our special meetings. That's number one. Praise the Lord. Number two, it's not going to mess up with our city. We are here, and we reign. We're in charge. It's not the weatherman. It's not the devil and all his cohorts. They're not going to create any slowdown here. I remember many years ago, it seemed like every Sunday or every other Sunday, the week would be so good, and come Saturday, Friday, Saturday, there's this download of snow. Makes it impossible for people to come to church. And I said, Lord, why is this happening all the time? He said, you're letting it happen. I said, what? I'm letting it happen. What exactly how? He said, you know you have the authority to send that snow somewhere else. I said, yeah, okay. So I did. That was the last time the service was stopped. Now, this has got to be about 15, 20 years now, that the service was stopped because of a downpour of snow that made the roads impassable and whatever else. Stopped it. But the amazing thing, I was sharing this with somebody the other day, you know, even though the snow came down and disturbed things, God did not allow our finances that we needed to run the ministry to drop. Even though church members went, you know, I've seen some stuff. You know, people come to church and they will give, but if they didn't come to a service, forget the tithe, forget the offering. It doesn't come back, you know, because they missed the service. No. What did God do? God will send people who didn't even attend the church to release whatever the amount I needed to take care of the bills that particular week. We never lacked through that, but that was not God's best. God wanted me to shut the enemy out. And so we're going to pray right now. We're going to declare that the blizzard that the weatherman and the news men, not only in Manitoba, but across. They're just broadcasting it all over the place. We have a different broadcast. The broadcast is no blizzard here and no pouring down of stuff, and it's not going to be any flood in our city. We take full charge of that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your authority, and we exercise it right now. We take it over the weather, and we command it to line up with the truth of God. This weather shall not create a problem for us. And so, Lord, oh God, we banish from any area where our church members are, any area where your people are gathered, for satanic forces to cause them to be hindered from worshiping you in spirit and in truth, from being in your house during this Passover season. Lord of God, we are going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the victory that we have in you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done already. You've shut down all that snow that was coming down. You've shut it down. We thank you, Lord, that it is completely shut down. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, oh God, that the farmers will get what they need. Because, Lord, oh God, you can make little much for them. And Lord, oh God, one thing we forbid by the authority in your name is that we will not receive a flooding in our city, all over these prairies. We declare in Jesus' name that it will be well for every home, for every family, for every business, that your people will not live in fear, because things are going awry. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of your authority. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, we'll release our offering to the Lord. Wherever you are, release that offering unto him. And remember, God is a God who multiplies your seed sown. And I want to remind you that this Passover, God commissions you and I to appear in his presence. Three times in the year, God commands us to be, at least in the Old Testament, it is because of the fact that people had to come from different parts of the nation. And it would be hard for people to come every Sabbath to the temple, so they had their synagogues all over the place. But three times there was a command to show up, and those three times it says don't come empty-handed. That was during Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, and also the Feast of Tabernacles. Passover, because it declares to us that this is a time for our freedom from the bondage of the world. God cut off, he shut down the rule and control of the enemy, because the destroyer came, and the firstborn was to be hidden in the house as he ate the Passover lamb. Now, what is that firstborn issue? It is the fact that the firstborn or the first fruit being blessed causes everything else in your life to be blessed. And during Passover, God is declaring over you and over me, I'm going to bless everything the rest of your year, the rest of your life at the time of Passover. The destroyer shall not come your way. Amen. And then Pentecost is a time where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was made manifest. The church of Jesus Christ was born. The grace for multiplication was established all through the years while Jesus was around. They did not see the increase that was necessary for the building of the church. Yes, he had great multitudes, but in one service, thousands were added. That's acceleration. And every day, there was addition to the church. Increase came. Yes, persecution came, but increase, the increase of God came, and the church flourished. I believe that God is going to do something extraordinary for every one of us. And of course, there's the Feast of Tabernacle, God tabernacling with his people. But during this particular three key feasts, and they are God's feasts, he says, don't come empty-handed. I want you to connect with me because I want to connect with you. So do everything within your power to be here, to experience the goodness of God. We've agreed together already that the weather is not going to be an issue for us. We are going to be here, we're going to celebrate God, and we're going to know the goodness of God now and always, world without end. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I know you have already honored God with your giving, and the blessings of God pursue after you and overtake you. And I'll see you on Friday for a wonderful time together in the presence of the Most High God. Good night. Love you. Bye-bye.